This week in Trends and Products, the trend is apparently skywards. The heels of women's shoes are getting ever higher. What's more, this week saw a stiletto relay, scores of women running in high heels to raise money for breast cancer research. And of course you can check out DVDs of Sex and the City, or if you can bear it, the movie Sex and the City 2, for a whole array of Manolo Blahniks and Jimmy Choos. Well, it's a trend that the Sydney writer and critic Christine Creeman applauds. She might not wear high heels anymore, but she still wants to sing their praises, up to a point. And incidentally, the words of Christine's song quotes language that some of you might find offensive.
Put on your high heels, sneaker. Wear your wig hat on your head.
Even if, like me, you're not exactly a dedicated follower of fashion, you've probably noticed the recent trend in women's shoes. For the past couple of seasons, heels have got higher and higher. I was looking at a fashion parade on TV a little while ago, and as I watched the models mincing cautiously back and forth on the catwalk in their sky-high heels, I started to think about how important high heels are to women, and about the recurrent debate on the wisdom of wearing them. The debate was sparked again recently by what a certain junior fashionista was photographed wearing on her feet. Surrey Cruise, the young daughter of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, was scarcely out of booties when her parents began to buy her expensive clothing, which included luxury footwear. This child of Hollywood royalty now has a collection of shoes that may soon resemble Imelda Marcos's, and, controversially, amongst them is a bespoke pair of mini high heels, designed especially for Surrey by Marc Jacobs. There has been a lot of thundering in the media from orthopaedic specialists about the folly of this, and I feel bad for Surrey. Not because this poor little rich girl is going to be crippled by wearing these shoes, as has been predicted. After all, she'd have to walk in them constantly for this to happen, and the wealthy don't have to walk. No, I pity Surrey Cruise because she won't have the pleasure of wearing high heels for the first time post-puberty, an important rite of passage for females of my generation. Certainly, buying one's first bra is a significant milestone, but when you strut your stuff for the first time in a pair of high heels, you are, in essence, announcing to the world that you are a grown woman. This is similar to girls in the 19th century heralding the advent of womanhood by wearing long skirts and putting their hair up for the first time. If wearing one's first high heels is a cause for celebration, the day a woman is obliged to give up wearing them can be a day of mourning. One of my best friends told me recently that she just couldn't walk in high heels anymore, and from the unhappy tone of her voice, you would have thought that Kathy was an Inuit elder who could no longer chew leather for the moccasins and was about to be banished from her tribe. Of course, when Kathy was a young girl, the sturdy, practical platforms and wedged heel shoes of the war years had been succeeded by more elegant footwear, with slender high heels to suit the long, full skirts of Christian Dior's new look. In the early 50s, Italian designers gave us the first killer heel, the stiletto, and we're seeing its early 21st century grandchild today. There was something very saucy and positively subversive about the stiletto. When I was in my teens, short skirts were coming into fashion, and the low-heeled shoes which complemented them were in vogue. But I bucked the trend when I spent most of my first pay from the summer job I had in high school on a pair of white leather slingbacks with stiletto heels. Shoes like these, I've since discovered, are known colloquially as fuck-me shoes. If my mother had known this at the time, she would have been even angrier with me when I came home with my pricey purchase. I didn't care. I wanted proper, or rather improper, grown-up shoes, and you couldn't get anything more improper then. Today, though, the fashion is for slender, sky-high heels on shoes which feature such a plethora of straps and chains and tight lacing that it seems they were designed to be worn with a ball gag and wrist restraints rather than one's favourite little black frock. They call them car-to-bar shoes because that's about as far as one can walk in them. Some hardcore feminists might say that this trend is the equivalent of a return to foot binding and that anyone who wears them is colluding with sexism. But it isn't as simple as this. The debate about wearing high heels is, in its own way, almost as complex and thorny an argument as the debate over wearing the burqa. And one thing I believe with both debates is that it is never right for someone to dictate to a woman what she should or should not wear, even if the edict comes from another woman. Those who declare that the high heel is the tool of sexist male shoe designers are betraying their ignorance of fashion history. It was, after all, a woman, British designer Vivienne Westwood, who was responsible for those absurdly high platform shoes which Naomi Campbell wore a while back at a fashion show, and which caused her to stumble and fall so spectacularly on the runway. One of the big things about the TV series Sex and the City was the fashion, in particular the high heel shoes. Episode after episode celebrated the high-heeled shoe, and designers such as Manolo Blahnik and Jimmy Choo became household names because of it. Actually, Sex and the City was responsible for helping British-based designer Choo break into the American market. Women like wearing high heels for many reasons. Another friend of mine was a lawyer in a big Sydney corporate law firm in the 80s and 90s, where the men far outnumbered the women. Suzanne is tall, but made herself even taller by pairing the highest of high heels with her power suits, so that her colleagues and her clients literally had to look up at her. I don't know that she did this on purpose, but I'm sure her choice of footwear helped her. It must have been like buckling on a suit of armour. She became a senior partner there, by the way. I haven't worn high heels for a couple of years now. A bad fall down my front steps when I was wearing a pair of high-heeled sandals a while back made me rethink the height of my shoes. Even my favourite stilettos, a rather fetching, mint-conditioned vintage pair in mother-of-pearl that were probably worn only once by a bride or a bridesmaid, now do duty as bookends. I wasn't going to adopt the kind of shoes deemed most suitable for the mature woman, though. You know what I mean, the kind which stress that they are comfy in their advertisements and even in their name. My footwear of choice has been the brand known as Campers. Their flat-heeled twin shoes are made from the softer Spanish leather and come in whimsical, the left and right have different decorations, one-off designs that satisfy my fondness for fun in fashion. Lately, though, I've had a hankering for something other than flatties. Not the exaggeratedly high heels that are all the rage at the moment. Oh, no. I'm saving up for a pair of Melbourne designer Joanne Preston's handmade high-heeled shoes. These quirky creations are constantly playing with classic designs and, in most of her collections, give us interesting, different permutations of the Louis heel. To my mind, this makes for a well-balanced shoe. It's not too high, it's elegantly curved, yet sturdy. This was the heel that the flappers wore in the 1920s and that Louis XIV favoured back in the 17th century in scarlet to signify his divine right to be king. These are shoes I could Charleston in if I wanted to. In heels like these, Christine Creeman rules.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots? Start walking.
Start walking. Nancy Sinatra walking into the distance, arm in arm with Christine Creeman. And now that we've talked about footwear, this might be a good time to talk about fetishes. Form, function, or fetish. Unpacking Contemporary Design is a public forum which we're presenting in association with the Goethe Institute and Berlin Days to explore how design has shaped and continues to shape our world and affects every aspect of our lives from Bauhaus to our house. I'll be the host and I'll be joined by a distinguished panel from various sections of the design and architecture world. It's at 6 o'clock next Tuesday, the 5th of October, at Story Hall, RMIT University, Melbourne. Admission is free, but space is limited, so if you want to be there, you need to reserve your seat. You'll find the address to email on our website. Next on By Design, we're off to Brisbane.